Friday, December 26th, second day in the Christmas octave, Memorial of St. Stephen, Martyr. The lesson from Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, and chapter 7, verses 54 through 59. In those days, Stephen, full of grace and fortitude, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now there arose some of that which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of them that were of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit that spoke. Now hearing these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed with their teeth at him. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looking up steadfastly to heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they, crying out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and with one accord ran violently upon him. And casting him forth without the city, they stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, who was invoking and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep in the Lord. Haydock Commentary. The Libertines were those whose fathers had been made slaves under Pompey and the Romans, but who had again been restored to their liberty and had been set free. There were other synagogues for the Jews of Cyrene and of Alexandria. No doubt but St. Stephen had converted many of them, and the chiefs of the synagogues, not being able to dispute with him or to answer the spirit of wisdom which directed him, they suborned witnesses. They were cut to the heart, exasperated even to rage and madness, gnashing their teeth with indignation. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, this is the comfort of all martyrs, this is the support of every Christian under the severest trials of either mind or body, this is the sweetener of every burthen and cross. They stopped their ears, crying out, Blasphemy! And they stoned him to death. He prayed for them, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, in imitation of his Lord and Master, our Savior Christ. See with what arms St. Stephen defended himself against the fury of his enemies. He puts on charity for a breastplate, and by that came off victorious. By his love of God, he resisted the enraged Jews. By the love he bore his neighbor, he prayed for those that stoned him. Through charity, he admonished them of their errors in order to their amendment. Through charity, he besought the divine goodness not to punish their crimes against him. Leaning on charity, he overcame the cruelty of Saul and merited to have him a companion in heaven who had been his chief persecutor on earth. So says St. Fulgentius. We here again see the powerful intercession of the saints. For, says St. Augustine, if Stephen had not thus prayed, the church would not glory in a St. Paul. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 23, verses 34 through 39. At that time, Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, Behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you will put to death and crucify, and some you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the just blood that hath been shed upon the earth, from the blood of Abel the just, even unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you killed between the temple and the altar. Amen, I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered together thy children, as the hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and thou wouldst not. Behold, your house shall be left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Haydock Commentary. Upon you may come all the just blood that hath been shed upon the earth from the blood of Abel. Not that the Jews to whom Christ spoke should be punished for crimes which they themselves did not commit, nor be more severely punished than they themselves deserved, but he speaks of the Jewish people, which, by putting to death their Messiah, should shortly fill up the number of their sins, so that God would destroy their whole nation, as if the blood of Abel and of the prophets unjustly murdered came upon them at once. The common opinion is that here is met Zechariah, who, preaching to the people, in 2 Chronicles 24:20, was stoned to death in the very place where Christ was now speaking. More severe punishments were inflicted on these Jews on account of their more grievous and heinous transgressions, for nothing had been able to recall them from their wickedness. They had the example of their ancestors before their eyes, continually irritating the wrath of God. Yet all they had suffered for their crimes could not incite them to leave their sinful ways. But they proceeded further than their ancestors in impiety, and ought therefore to receive a more severe condemnation. Three truths may be gathered from the words of our Savior. First, they who perish, perish by their own fault, because they refuse to listen to the voice of God calling them to salvation. Two, man's will is free, and that it is an error in man to lay all his wickedness to the charge of God, or blind chance. For God justly attributes the reprobation of man to his own perverse will, which often opposes that of God, and brings destruction on itself. Third, how necessary it is for man to subject his will to that of the Almighty, and ever to say with our Savior, "Not my will, but thine be done." Their house shall be deprived of the protection of the God of heaven. He it was that had hitherto preserved them, and he also would inflict upon them those very severe judgments they so much dreaded. So says St. John Chrysostom. The time here foretold when they should say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," is the day of general judgment. When our Savior says, "henceforth," we must understand it of all that time which intervened between the time of his speaking and his passion. It may also be understood of the Jews who are to be converted to the faith of Jesus Christ towards the end of the world.